for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next hour, I'll be reading from the Triangle Business Journal. Cover story this week, Healthcare Leadership Awards. From nurses to doctors to administrators, TBJ celebrates healthcare professionals. But first, the biz section. The biz section is written by managing editor Dane Huffman. His main story this week, tariff threat sparks wine buying spree. If you were thinking now might be the time to stock up on champagne or red wine from the French region of Bordeaux, you are not alone. With trade wars with Europe looming, some in the Triangle are stocking up on wine. Aaron Krause, store manager at Seaboard Wine in Raleigh, said interest in European wines has been intense since President Donald Trump announced sweeping tariffs on April 2nd. Seaboard Wine, located at High Park Village, has nearly 5,000 bottles of wine on hand. In recent days, French and Italian wines have sold briskly. We've seen a lot of customers stock up in preparation of that, he said. There's been quite a significant concern about that. Both Krause and Krista Peters at the Ararat Import-Export Company in Raleigh said that prices have not jumped so far. We have not seen any increase yet, Peters said. As of right now, none, but probably closer to May we'll have a better idea. Krause noted that the smaller distributors are the ones waiting to see how prices are impacted. It really depends on how our distributors handle it, he said. They will probably pass along a little bit and absorb a little bit of it. But Krause noted that wine drinkers have gotten more selective and that those who prefer European wines will drink less and they'll pay a little more for that. Will they drink more American wines? No, he answered. Golf ranking shows depth of McConnell Golf. The recent ranking of North Carolina's top golf courses by the North Carolina Golf Panel had some expected results, with Pinehurst number 2 at number 1 and Grandfather Golf and Country Club remaining at number 2. Old Chatham Golf Club in Durham edged up from number 10 last year to number 9, and Raleigh Country Club dropped from number 17 to number 18. But what's fascinating is that McConnell Golf of Raleigh has 10 of the courses included in the top 100. That's a staggering showing and speaks to the strategy CEO John McConnell laid out in a recent TBJ panel. As McConnell said, building a golf course is difficult given the permitting and access to water and all that's required. So buying a course, especially the right course, is far more efficient. Obviously, as the rankings show, that strategy is paying off. Founder of My Computer Career retires. Tony Galati, founder of My Computer Career, has retired as CEO and the company has named a new leader from within its ranks. The technical school Galati started from one campus with two classrooms in Raleigh is now led by Amy Anuska, who worked alongside Galati for 17 years. She became CEO on March 25th. Galati will retain ownership and take over as chairman of the board of directors, according to a press release. Founded in 2007, the school now boasts 9 campuses in Texas, North Carolina, Indiana, Ohio, and Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada, with its headquarters in Apex. Belk gets back in sponsorship game for sports. If you grew up in North Carolina, you remember what a major presence Belk had across the state. And after some years of struggles, the Charlotte-based retailer is back in the sports marketing game. Belk has signed a multi-year agreement with the NBA Charlotte Hornets, a renewal of a partnership from way back when the Hornets began in the 1980s. The deal follows a deal Belk signed back in October with the NFL's Carolina Panthers. And high wages pay off more in Charlotte. Some high earners in Raleigh may be thinking about relocating to Charlotte. A recent smart asset study shows the purchasing power of a $100,000 salary in Raleigh grew by 1.3%, from $75,730 to $76,731 from 2024 to 2025 after accounting for taxes as well as cost of living premiums relative to the U.S. average. But that's lower than Charlotte, where the earner has a purchasing power of $81,780, up 6.6%, the highest growth rate among the nearly 70 areas analyzed. Meanwhile, Durham saw a drop from $74,400 to $71,370. Our cover story this week is the annual Healthcare Leadership Awards. The honorees are many, and the first one is G. Glenn Coates. His is a Lifetime Achievement Award. He was with Wake Radiology Consultants, PA. And the TBJ asked each one of these honorees the same questions. What motivates you in your everyday work? Mr. Coates said, leading with compassion, honesty, and devotion in providing care has always been an intuitive and basic behavior for my daily work. My aim has been to treat patients as if they were members of my own family. What are your chief responsibilities? As the former director of body MRI services for Wake Radiology, I was privileged to serve in a leadership role in the development of new MRI methods, which have become the regional standard in MRI for more than 20 years. In addition, I established methods of teaching which achieve greater understanding and clarity for all team members, as well as for the patients I assisted. I've been fortunate in my career to have been involved in a number of milestones, from the first cardiac MRI in Raleigh to giving presentations featuring 3D animated MRI to promote imaging expertise. However, my primary responsibility has always been to advocate for my patients. How does your work impact patients and others in the healthcare community? I have been present when patients who believed they had cancer or incurable diseases found out from their MRI results that they, in fact, did not have cancer or that their options were greater than they had thought. That relief and joy has empowered me to find ways to make MRI more effective and accurate in daily practice. I have worked to educate referring physicians with common sense algorithms for imaging management and diagnosis, and brought that education to them with novel presentation graphics and lectures. Are you seeing any significant trends emerge? MRI has virtually unlimited power to not only detect and characterize disease at a time when it might be cured, but it also now has the potential to effectively treat disease non-surgically. Why did you choose healthcare for a career? When I was 11, my father died of a preventable cause. That event allowed me to understand that medicine was always growing, always changing, and always striving to improve. I wanted to be part of that growth and development to contribute my best to the cause so that others would not experience the same loss that I did. I dedicated my work to bringing new ideas and methods to the patients of the Triangle to realize that goal. And the final question, what do you like most about living in the Triangle? I have loved watching the region grow, adding more culture and diversity to the experience of living in such a great state and region. Dr. Coates, however, is now retired and living in Asheville. The Doctor of the Year honor goes to Stephanie Duggins Davis. She's from UNC Children's Hospital. What motivates you in your everyday work? Our mission of serving the children and families of North Carolina. The vision at UNC Children's is to transform care and inspire hope for all children, promoting child health, mentoring faculty, training the next generation of child health leaders, and growing research motivate me daily. The faculty and staff at UNC Children's are true heroes caring for the sickest children in our state. What are your chief responsibilities? I am the system chief of UNC Children's and the chair of the Department of Pediatrics within the School of Medicine. I lead faculty and staff as we provide clinical care for children from all 100 counties in North Carolina. We train medical students, residents, and subspecialty fellows. Other responsibilities include expanding research. Over the past 6 years, we doubled the department size, recruiting over 150 clinicians and doubled our research funding to almost $50 million. How does your work impact patients and others in the healthcare community? UNC Children's mission is to promote the health of all children through compassionate, family-centered care, tireless advocacy, scientific discovery, and education of future leaders. We provide primary and subspecialty care for children. Families may participate in research, ultimately improving care. As a physician scientist, I have led studies in cystic fibrosis and primary ciliary dyskinesia, which has improved management of these diseases. Are you seeing any significant trends emerge? Emerging trends include fewer people entering pediatric subspecialty careers. As medical knowledge and technology increase rapidly, subspecialists are needed more than ever. To address this problem, we need innovative changes in healthcare delivery and national policy changes. Other trends are the use of AI and telehealth. The North Carolina Children's Health System is being formed, a partnership between Duke and UNC Children's. This new freestanding health campus will transform care for children across the state. Why did you choose healthcare for a career? I have wanted to be a pediatrician since I was 7 years old. I chose pediatrics as a career because improving child health changes the trajectory of health into adulthood. I can't imagine a better job, partnering with families and having the honor to serve as their pediatrician. What do you like most about living in the Triangle? I love the universities, the sports, and the diversity of people that live in the Triangle. And Dr. Duggins Davis does live in Chapel Hill. The honor of 2025 Diversity Leader goes to Charmaine Ducky from Duke Health, DPC Riverview. What motivates you in your everyday work? A deep passion for health equity and patient empowerment drives me. Every day I strive to create meaningful change in healthcare by ensuring that every patient, especially those in underserved communities, has access to quality care and the resources to manage their health effectively. What are your chief responsibilities? As a healthcare leader, I oversee critical aspects of patient care, health education, and systems improvement. My role extends beyond clinical work, and I help optimize workflows, enhance patient-provider communication, and drive initiatives that address disparities in health outcomes. I also mentor the next generation of nurses, ensuring our workforce is competent, compassionate, and culturally aware. How does your work impact patients and others in the healthcare community? I integrate technology, education, and advocacy to enhance chronic care management and health literacy. I also lead initiatives that strengthen healthcare systems, foster collaboration, and advocate for minority health professionals. I empower my team to challenge norms, think innovatively, and drive better patient outcomes. Through community health programs like Trim and Pressure, Fresh Cuts, and Healthy Hearts, I bring screenings and education to underserved populations, bridging gaps in care beyond clinical settings. Are you seeing any significant trends emerge? AI and health tech, AI-driven tools enhance patient monitoring, predictive analytics, and workflow efficiency, reducing provider burnout while improving engagement. Equitable access will be crucial. Community-based initiatives, programs like barbershop hypertension screenings, and library health outreach address disparities by meeting patients where they are. Interdisciplinary care, team-based models improve chronic disease management, but evidence-based practice implementation needs acceleration. Financial pressures, post-COVID budget cuts drive innovation, requiring cost-effective, high-quality care solutions. Why did you choose healthcare for a career? I didn't have a traditional heartfelt healthcare story, but I declared I would be a nurse at 5, despite my aversion to blood. I always knew I wanted to help people over time. I realized impact extends beyond direct care. What do you like most about living in the Triangle? The Triangle blends professional growth, cultural diversity, and innovation. Its thriving healthcare ecosystem fosters collaboration and continuous learning. Charmaine Ducky lives in Durham. The Surgeon of the Year is Jeffrey Gacka of Duke University. What motivates you in your everyday work? My main motivation is providing the best medical care possible to my patients. For patients and family members undergoing cardiac surgery, it can be a stressful and difficult time. I strive to provide the best care possible in a manner that is respectful, thoughtful, and diligent. I get the most satisfaction out of seeing my patients healthy and happy after surgery. What are your chief responsibilities? Performing cardiac surgery at Duke Hospital. As the section chief of adult cardiac surgery, I'm responsible for overseeing the 9 adult cardiac surgeons at Duke Hospital. In addition, I'm also responsible for training cardiothoracic surgical residents. How does your work impact patients and others in the healthcare community? I directly impact patients by performing surgery in a variety of situations in both elective to emergency situations. At Duke, we are a tertiary referral center, therefore we accept patients from many hospitals across the Southeast. We're always available and take pride in helping patients and doctors from many hospitals. Are you seeing any significant trends emerge? The impact of new technology has revolutionized cardiac surgical care. We are able to help so many more people live healthier and longer lives due to the technological advances. If we want to continue to reap the benefits, we must continue to innovate and invest in healthcare research and development. Why did you choose healthcare for a career? I choose healthcare and specifically cardiac surgery for the continuing challenges and rewards of helping people live longer, healthier lives. I greatly enjoy seeing my patients do well and thrive. It's a tremendous feeling to work so long and hard to obtain the skills that can help people. Every day is new challenge, and it never gets old. What do you like most about living in the Triangle? I have lived in the Triangle since 1998. I enjoy the people and the proximity to the three tremendous universities. The Triangle has great weather, proximity to the mountains and the beach, and almost unlimited outdoor activities. The Triangle has all the benefits of a large city with a small town feel. And here's a question they didn't ask the other folks. What do you do to relax and have fun? I enjoy spending time with my family, watching my children's sporting events, cycling, and fly fishing. Dr. Gaka lives in Durham. The healthcare manager of the year is Larissa Hill of WakeMed Health and Hospitals. What motivates you in your everyday work? I am driven by the opportunity to address complex challenges, develop innovative solutions, and collaborate with talented colleagues by harnessing our collective strengths. My goal is to achieve meaningful results that not only advance WakeMed's mission, but also resonate with my personal values while striving for world domination. What are your chief responsibilities? The Executive Director of Neuroscience drives strategy, financial health, and operational excellence across the brain and spine health service line. How does your work impact patients and others in the healthcare community? My work is rooted in fostering collaboration among a diverse team of neuroscience specialists. By facilitating transformative initiatives, I focus on promoting a value-based approach that prioritizes overall efficiency, improved patient outcomes, and organizational effectiveness. Are you seeing any significant trends emerge? WakeMed is at the forefront of adopting several important trends, including artificial intelligence, personalized medicine, telehealth and virtual care, preventive care, addressing workforce challenges with innovative solutions, and implementing value-based care models. These trends also impact neuroscience, particularly in areas such as brain-computer interfaces, which create direct communication pathways between the brain and external devices, offering groundbreaking possibilities for restoring mobility and communication in patients with severe disabilities. Neuroimaging innovations, providing more detailed insights into brain function and structure, and neuroplasticity research, which understands the brain's ability to adapt and rewire itself, opening new avenues for recovery in conditions like stroke and traumatic brain injury. Why did you choose healthcare for a career? About 6 years ago, I decided to transition from management consulting to hospital administration. As a newcomer eager to explore, my journey began when I moved from the Washington, D.C. metro area to join WakeMed as an administrative fellow. I was motivated by a desire to apply the diverse skills I had gained in my previous experience to serve within a community hospital setting. What do you like most about living in the Triangle? The easy access to nature and variety, whether it's exploring ocean shores, mountain trails, or even charming covered bridges. And Larissa Hill lives in Chapel Hill. The Support Services Executive of the Year is Laura Kelly, also of WakeMed Health and Hospitals. What motivates you in your everyday work? My personal faith and sense of call to this work is the foundation for what I do each and every day. I'm motivated and anchored by the incredible people who I serve alongside, both my colleagues in the WakeMed Department of Spiritual Care and the staff at WakeMed North Hospital. Finally, I'm continuously motivated by the amazing patients and families who I have the privilege to support. What are your chief responsibilities? As chaplain, the mission is to provide effective spiritual care to patients, families, and staff in ways that are supportive and meaningful to them while respecting their values and belief systems. My role in particular is to serve the spiritual and emotional needs of patients, families, and staff at WakeMed North Hospital. How does your work impact patients and others in the healthcare community? The hospital can be an overwhelming place, especially as people encounter the vulnerabilities of being sick or caring for the sick. Spiritual care invites people to connect with what they hold close, even in spaces where everything else can feel disorienting. Are you seeing any significant trends emerge? One important trend is the focus on holistic care. addressing the physical concerns, while also embracing a person's mental, social, emotional, spiritual needs, and offering appropriate resources and intentional care. This shift is important because it's a recognition that a person's health is not just physical, but instead is dynamic and complex. As interdisciplinary healthcare teams, we are invited to address the needs of the full person. Why did you choose healthcare for a career? During my chaplaincy internship in Richmond, Virginia, everything in my educational, vocational, and lived experience felt aligned in such a beautiful way. I say that the world of healthcare found me, and I have been honored to journey alongside so many patients, families, and staff through the joys and the griefs that accompany the experience of being human. What do you like most about living in the Triangle? There's always something to do. So many beautiful places to explore, local businesses to support, and people to meet. What do you do to relax and have fun? I enjoy being with the amazing people in my life, whether that means enjoying a delicious meal, or playing a board game, or watching a movie together. And Laura Kelly lives in Raleigh. The 2025 Innovator Researcher of the Year is Edwin Kim of UNC Chapel Hill School of Medicine. What motivates you in your everyday work? To work as part of a team to improve the lives of children with food allergy and their families. What are your chief responsibilities? Directing the UNC Food Allergy Initiative, whose focus is to understand why food allergies occur and develop ways to treat them. I also oversee the UNC Pediatric Allergy and Immunology Clinics, where we can bring this cutting-edge knowledge to patients to make a difference in their lives. How does your work impact patients and others in the healthcare community? Food allergy affects 1 in 13 kids in the U.S., and these days everyone knows someone with a food allergy. With food allergy, there's the ever-present threat of allergic reactions, and trying to avoid the food leads to isolation, fear, and poor quality of life. We're studying treatments that can reduce the risk of food allergies to help these kids to take back control and improve their lives. Are you seeing any significant trends emerge? For years, the diagnosis of food allergy meant reading labels and trying to avoid allergic reactions with an epinephrine injector always available in case. Today, instead of sitting back and waiting for something bad to happen, the conversation in food allergy has shifted. Today, we're actively trying to prevent the allergy, and if an allergy still develops, we're choosing between multiple options to manage and treat the allergy. Why did you choose healthcare for a career? I love to be around people, to talk to people, and to help people feel better. What do you like most about living in the Triangle? We have all the perks of the bigger cities, but have maintained the feeling of community. I love being part of this community and being able to do things to help my community. What do you do to relax and have fun? I relax and have fun by hanging out with my family and getting to be a part of my kids' everyday lives. And Dr. Kim lives in Chapel Hill. The Doctor of the Year is Brian Klostner of WakeMed Health and Hospitals. What motivates you in your everyday work? The patients I serve inspire me daily. We run a transitional clinic focused on stabilizing our sickest and most vulnerable individuals. Witnessing their resilience as they navigate complex and advanced conditions is truly remarkable. What are your chief responsibilities? My chief responsibilities include providing health care and support to vulnerable populations, particularly those experiencing homelessness, through a transitional clinic designed to stabilize patients with complex medical needs. I also conduct research on the intersection of homelessness and health, exploring ways to improve outcomes through policy and systemic change. Additionally, I focus on advocacy, education, and outreach efforts to raise awareness and drive solutions that address gaps in care for underserved communities. How does your work impact patients and others in the healthcare community? Our work at the center helps stabilize the mental and physical health of some of the most vulnerable patients in our community. As we do so, we can share the lessons we learn to help advocate for systemic community-based improvements that more efficiently address underlying root causes related to social determinants, trauma, and behavioral health pathologies. Are you seeing any significant trends emerge? I believe the future will see more creative collaborations between healthcare providers, community partners, and governments to address patients' unmet social needs. As we recognize the impact of social determinants of health, health in all policies approaches will become more prevalent, integrating healthcare with community resources and public policy. Why did you choose healthcare for a career? Because I'm a geek. I love biology, chemistry, etc., and medicine is a field where I can practice this science with the goal of helping others. It offers the chance to make a meaningful impact on people's lives, and if we evolve the field in the right direction, larger populations and society as a whole. What do you like most about living in the Triangle? I'm originally from Los Angeles, and after spending years in Washington, D.C., Chicago, and Boston, I would have to say the weather is by far my favorite thing about the Triangle, and being near the beach. What do you do to relax and have fun? I am a horrible cook, artist, and musician, so it's fun to be horrible, trying all those and inspiring, annoying friends and family. I also enjoy humbling my kids in all sports-related activities. Dr. Klossner lives in Cary. The 2025 Innovator Researcher of the Year is Laura Nicholson of Humacyte. What motivates you in your everyday work? For me, it's always been about developing science and that truly helps patients. The idea behind Humacyte first started with a moment I'll never forget. I was watching a particularly complex cardiac surgery, and my colleague had to cut deep into the patient's limbs, searching unsuccessfully for a vein to use for a heart bypass operation. I knew there had to be a better way. Now, decades later, it's incredible to be pioneering that solution. One of the most important lessons I learned when starting Humacyte is that if you're doing it for the money, it's the wrong reason. The real rewards come in the long run, so stay focused on your why. What are your chief responsibilities? I serve as president and CEO of Humacyte, a biotechnology company pioneering the science of developing universally implantable, off-the-shelf human tissue. I oversee the science behind our breakthrough acellular tissue-engineered vessel technology, meet with investors, work closely with regulatory agencies on the commercialization of SimVess and the next steps for the indications we have in the pipeline, and focus on fostering a culture of scientific excellence and teamwork. How does your work impact patients and others in the healthcare community? Humacyte's acellular tissue engineered vessel platform has the power to help patients during some of their most difficult moments, whether it be the potential amputation of a limb, painful complications from degenerative diseases, or the threat of losing their life. Our technology was just approved in December by the Food and Drug Administration to treat vascular trauma. The platform also has the potential for a wide range of additional treatments, including type 1 diabetes, hemodialysis, peripheral arterial disease, and coronary artery bypass grafting. Are you seeing any significant trends emerge? Innovation is exploding right now, but it cannot be infinitely expensive. Why did you choose healthcare for a career? You can make a durable, important difference for many people. Biomedical science involves combining many sorts of training in clinical medicine, chemistry, engineering, etc. I really enjoy combining different types of thought to produce something that is tangible that improves lives. What do you like most about living in the Triangle? Having spent many years in the Northeast, where getting to work, the grocery store, and the airport are always a struggle, it's nice to be someplace where the barriers to everyday living are not there. And Dr. Nicholson lives in Durham. This year's honoree for Physician Practice Group is Neeraj Sachdeva of Wake Endoscopy Center and RMG Gastroenterology. What motivates you in your everyday work? I'm fortunate to work alongside a team of highly skilled physicians across various GI subspecialties. We take great pride in being part of an organization that prioritizes patient above all else. My father, Nand Sachdeva, had a saying, "Uneasy life wins the crown." It meant that hard work and dedication paved the way for success. What are your chief responsibilities? As physicians, our primary duty is to our patients. Their health, well-being, and hopes are entrusted to us. As a co-managing partner, I also carry the responsibility of leadership, ensuring our practice operates efficiently. This involves strategic decisions and fostering a positive work environment. Balancing care and commerce, healing and leadership is challenging, but deeply rewarding. Every day I'm reminded of the impact we make both in patient lives and in shaping the future of our practice. How does your work impact patients and others in the healthcare community? By leading with compassion, foresight, and accountability, we can make a meaningful and lasting impact on our patients, colleagues, and the future of our healthcare. Our role extends beyond treating illnesses. We're also building a healthier and stronger community. Are you seeing any significant trends emerge? Healthcare must become more efficient and affordable, and the key lies in technology and competition. Telemedicine, AI, and automation will enhance accessibility and streamline care. Additionally, the shift toward value-based care, where providers are reimbursed based on quality outcomes, patient satisfaction, and cost-effectiveness rather than volume, will play a crucial role in improving patient care. This transition will not only enhance efficiency, but also help alleviate physician burnout. Why did you choose healthcare for a career? It's not just the challenges or precision of the work, it's the chance to make a real impact. Whether detecting a polyp before it turns cancerous, easing pain, or offering comfort, each patient's trust is an honor. Seeing recovery, gratitude, and hope in their eyes reaffirms that what we do truly matters. Every patient I see has their own unique story, and the trust they place in me is something I hold in the highest regard. What do you like most about living in the Triangle? When my wife and I moved to North Carolina for my gastroenterology training at UNC Chapel Hill, we knew the Triangle would be our ultimate home. And Dr. Sachdeva lives in Raleigh. This year's Rising Healthcare Leader Award goes to Elizabeth Thompson of Duke University School of Medicine. What motivates you in your everyday work? In the pediatric cardiac ICU, we often care for children and families during their hardest moments. While this can be challenging, it's meaningful to be able to walk with families during this time, grieving the setbacks and celebrating the victories, no matter how small. The best part is seeing these families come back to visit with their child who is now at home and just being a kid. What are your chief responsibilities? In the pediatric cardiac ICU, I lead a team of nurse practitioners, fellow nurses, respiratory therapists, and dietitians in caring for critically ill children with heart disease. We collaborate with surgeons, cardiologists, perfusionists, and numerous other team members to develop and enact a plan of care. On my research team, I work with other physicians, scientists, statisticians, trainees, and research personnel to design clinical trials that improve the safety and efficacy of drugs in children. How does your work impact patients and others in the healthcare community? There have been so many advances in medicine that allow children with heart disease to survive when, even 30 years ago, their diagnosis would have been a death sentence. Still, these kids face many challenges. I hope that my research is able to contribute to medical knowledge that improves the quality and quantity of life for children with heart disease through identifying novel therapeutics and improving the safety and efficacy of drugs we already give to children. Are you seeing any significant trends emerge? We collect an immense amount of data as part of routine medical care. Looking ahead, I wonder if we'll be able to leverage this to improve outcome prediction, personalize treatments, and improve drug development. Why did you choose healthcare for a career? I'm fascinated by science and value personal relationships and being a part of a team. Working in healthcare allows me to apply my medical knowledge to solve clinical challenges, develop relationships with patients, and continually learn new things. What do you like most about living in the Triangle? The proximity to world-class institutions allowed me to get the training I needed to advance my career, and it facilitated collaborations with leaders across disciplines to be able to develop some groundbreaking research ideas. Outside of work, my family and I enjoy traveling to the beaches or mountains, attending college sports games, and trying new restaurants around the Triangle. And Dr. Thompson lives in Durham. The 2025 Nurse of the Year is Yolanda Michelle Van Riel of NC Central University. What motivates you in your everyday work? As the NC Central University Nursing Department Chair, I'm energized by my passion for advancing nursing education and healthcare. Seeing graduates' impact in the field, contributing to better patient outcomes, is truly inspiring. I'm also driven by the opportunity to create an environment where students and faculty flourish and reach their potential. What are your chief responsibilities? I lead academic and administrative functions, oversee curriculum development, faculty supervision, and program evaluation. Additional responsibilities include hiring and mentoring faculty, managing departmental budgets, ensuring compliance with accreditation standards, and fostering student success. I promote community partnerships, enhance clinical placement, and represent the department to external stakeholders. How does your work impact patients and others in the healthcare community? My role impacts patients in healthcare by shaping the education of future nurses who directly influence care. Through curriculum development, I ensure students are taught using evidence-based practices in the classroom and clinical. Additionally, the nursing program fosters partnerships with rural communities to improve care access, reinforcing the university's commitment to healthcare beyond traditional settings. Are you seeing any significant trends emerge? The trends in healthcare that I see emerging include telehealth and digital health technologies, such as virtual consultations and mobile health apps. Additionally, the use of AI and data analytics are being used for diagnosis and treatment planning. Why did you choose healthcare for a career? Because of the care nurses provided to my daughter when she was just 3 weeks old. Their expertise and compassion were instrumental in saving her life, and I'm deeply grateful for their impact. This experience inspired me to pursue a career dedicated to helping others in a similar way. What do you like most about living in the Triangle? Although I don't live in the Triangle, I truly enjoy working here. The region offers professional opportunities, a vibrant healthcare community, and a growing cultural scene. What do you do to relax and have fun? I love spending time with my husband, Antonio, and our children. And Yolanda Van Riel lives in West End, North Carolina. Turning now to the viewpoint section, we have a guest column this week from Tony Copeland. He's a senior economic development and corporate strategist at Brooks Pierce, a North Carolina-based business law firm with offices in Raleigh, Greensboro, and Wilmington. He served as North Carolina Secretary of Commerce from 2017 to 2021 and can be reached at tcopeland@brookspierce.com. Despite challenges, North Carolina's economic development forecast is positive. I've been involved with North Carolina economic development for more than 20 years, and to be sure, I've never seen anything like Hurricane Helene and the $59.6 billion in damages it wrought on our state. But despite that tragedy and several other challenges, I'm optimistic about the economy in 2025. Last year, North Carolina drew more than $15 billion in investments in corporate relocations, expansions, and other projects that will create more than 14,000 jobs. I base my outlook on those successes and other positives in the business sector. It will take generations for Western North Carolina to come back fully from Helene, especially for plant nurseries, backcountry infrastructure, and natural landscapes, but I'm confident in the approach taken by Governor Josh Stein. The state legislature just passed a $500 million recovery bill for the area, and with the support of President Donald Trump and his cabinet, billions in federal funds may follow. Another challenge for the state's economy is a bit ironic. Our booming economic climate likely will require the state and its citizens to invest in a broader electricity grid to power these new businesses. Also, a handful of these projects have seen their momentum slow. Electric vehicle manufacturer VinFast, which hoped to start production of a factory in Chatham County by the end of 2024, has pushed its opening to 2028 at the earliest, according to a Triangle Business Journal article in February. Also, chipmaker Wolfspeed, which is preparing to launch a $5 billion megafactory in Chatham, has suffered financial turbulence and recently fired its CEO over falling stock prices. A final challenge comes from major policy shifts happening in Washington, such as university layoffs as grants are canceled and tariff-caused uncertainty around prices. Nonetheless, our state's economic future looks promising. In 2022 and 2023, CNBC ranked North Carolina as the top state in which to do business, measured across categories including infrastructure, workforce, economy, quality of life, cost of doing business, technology and innovation, and business friendliness. Last year, CNBC ranked us number 2, and Stein looks poised to continue emphasizing pro-business policies. An example of North Carolina's economic might is this year's expected opening in Liberty of Toyota's first-ever battery plant in North America. Toyota is the largest car manufacturer in the world, and its choice of North Carolina to host a critical area of production investing $13.9 billion in the plant and creating 5,100 jobs speaks volumes about our economic future. Investments are coming from other industries as well. Last year, Novo Nordisk announced a $4.1 billion site in Johnston County aimed at producing current and future injectable treatments for people with obesity and other serious chronic diseases. Also, my law firm and I were fortunate to work with Morinaga America Foods, Inc. on expanding its current operations in Orange County with an investment of $136 million, creating 204 new jobs. Morinaga makes the popular Hi-Chew candy. These are only examples of the successes occurring around North Carolina every day. I look forward to seeing more in 2025. We have time left for one or two of the reporter pages. I'll start with Technology and Aviation, which is written by Lauren Onosorge. IPO window closes as markets wobble. Kerry, SAS, and Raleigh's Pendo are among those looking for the right time to jump in. 4 years after CEO Jim Goodnight directed SAS to prepare for an initial public offering, the IPO window has shut again as global markets tumble in the wake of President Donald Trump's sweeping tariffs. For SAS, it's just the latest impediment to going public, something officials have said for years is the plan. We continue to focus on our preparedness and growth, and we're beginning to operate internally as a public company, SAS spokeswoman Shannon Heath said April 7th. As we've said before, the official timing will be based on when we think the market will be optimal. The market is anything but optimal at the moment. But SAS isn't alone in seeing its IPO ambitions rattled by the downturn on Wall Street. Earlier this year, Pendo CEO Todd Olson said the Raleigh software company was paying attention to the IPO window in 2025. For us to be ready to be a public company, there's still some things we need to do internally to prepare ourselves, he told TBJ in January. For the Triangle, a public company debut for SAS would be a big deal, as major public companies means jobs, sponsorships, and philanthropy opportunities. But if Trump doesn't budge, it's likely companies looking to go public will be on the sidelines for a while. Jay Ritter, an IPO expert, and the Joseph B. Cordell Eminent Scholar at the University of Florida said that for companies like SAS that don't actually need the cash, it means a delay in filing. Ritter said firms with high burn rates and need of cash will need to cut expenses and seek out financing alternatives. Obviously, given the drop in public market valuations in the last few days, the price at which venture capitalists and others are willing to pay has dropped as well. Breeze's RDU schedule has shifts in Florida. Breeze Airways is shaking up its Florida service at Raleigh-Durham International Airport. The ultra-low-cost carrier is suspending its nonstop to Sarasota in June, leaving a gap in RDU's Florida network. We made some adjustments to our schedule that resulted in a temporary reduction in service from Raleigh-Durham to Sarasota-Bradenton this summer, spokesman Ryan Williams said. Sarasota returns in early September, but the airline is doubling down on other Florida markets. Breeze said its nonstops to Fort Myers and West Palm Beach will double their frequencies. Fort Myers will take off 6 times a week starting the week of April 28th, and West Palm Beach will take off 4 times a week starting the week of June 30th. Williams said service will fluctuate in September and through the end of the year, including more frequency around the holidays. The flights will peak at 5 times a week in November and December. Speaking of flights, RDU scores new Delta flight to Puerto Rico. Delta Airlines is the latest carrier to make a bet on the growth happening at Raleigh-Durham International Airport. The Atlanta airline has announced seasonal nonstop service to San Juan, Puerto Rico, beginning this holiday season. Delta's flight is scheduled to run from December 20th through April 12th, 2026. Puerto Rico has been a big enough business for RDU carriers to warrant on-and-off investments in the island over the years. Delta's Saturday-only service will face competition. The route is served seasonally by JetBlue and Frontier. Earlier this year, JetBlue upgraded its San Juan service to an Airbus A321, a bigger jet than the A320 it had been using for the seasonal flight. It was a demand-driven decision, the airline said at the time. JetBlue announced its current service to San Juan in 2023. It previously offered nonstop service to Puerto Rico, but cut the service in May 2022. For Frontier, Puerto Rico was one of the first flights it brought back post-pandemic. Allegiant Air previously offered nonstop service to San Juan, but suspended it in 2020 before the carrier left RDU entirely. While leisure destinations tend to do well at RDU, they're risky in storm season. Hurricanes have stymied previous efforts to expand service in Puerto Rico. In the ongoing Mr. Beast lawsuit, contention is ex-staffer took confidential data. North Carolina's most famous social media personality is suing a former employee. Mr. Beast YouTube LLC accuses Leroy Neighbors of downloading confidential information. According to a lawsuit filed April 4th in U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of North Carolina, Neighbors worked for Mr. Beast, who is Jimmy Donaldson, for 2 years. Before his termination, he's accused of having exfiltrated thousands of confidential Beast documents, the lawsuit says. According to the lawsuit, he claimed that downloading the information was a routine backup as part of his IT duties, a defense Mr. Beast rejects. Neighbors, according to the suit, has said he doesn't believe he has any data or documents relevant to the case. Kate Tracy brings us the retail and restaurants section. Massive project in Apex on the rise. Local leaders have marked the latest achievement for a $3 billion development that's broken ground in Apex. Attendees at the Viridia site off Old Holly Springs Apex Road near Highway 55 and Interstate 540 gathered April 3rd to commemorate the start of infrastructure construction, including wastewater, sewer, and facilities. Joe Graziose Sr., RXR's Executive Vice President of Development, said infrastructure work will finish by the end of 2027. The entire project is expected to take a decade to complete. The giant development is a major addition to the rapid growth in Apex and across southwest Wake County. Apex's population has soared above 70,000 and is today nearly double what it was in 2010. The same scenario is happening in Cary, Holly Springs, and Fuquay Varina as investments pour into the area. Graziose thanked a number of RXR's partners, including construction firm Samet Corp. and home builder Lennar, Arcadis McAdams PlanWorks Architecture. Arcadis and Gensler are other project partners. At full build-out, Viridia will bring approximately 8,000 residences, 3.5 million square feet of retail, hospitality and civic uses, and 12 million square feet of commercial space, including industrial and office space. Wake Tech Community College is building a campus at Viridia. Graziose said RXR has spent $10 million on engineering and design. Todd Reckler, Chief Construction and Development Officer at RXR, said there's nothing better than this piece of land in this region. We're thrilled to be part of this project with all the support that we've received from the town and the county, as well as the local town residents, he said. RXR plans to start with 200,000 square feet of retail, which will start going vertical around the same time as the multifamily portions of the project, around the second quarter of 2026. Retail center in North Raleigh sells for $30 million. A cluster of big-box retail buildings across from the Triangle Town Center in Raleigh has sold for $29.55 million. Triangle Town Place, a 14.4-acre property at 3630 Sumner Boulevard, traded hands on March 25th, property records show. The property sold to Atlanta real estate firm RCG Ventures. RCG lists 6 North Carolina retail properties on its website, including Triangle Town Place and Northlake Commons in Charlotte. The firm owns 190 properties in 30 states, according to the company's website. Triangle Town Place is home to Dick's Sporting Goods, Designer Shoe Warehouse, Dollar Tree, and Nordstrom Rack. The seller was an LLC listing the Rhode Island address of Global Net Lease, Inc., according to the deed. The total amassed value of the property is $26.62 million, according to Wake County records. Built in 2004, the 5 buildings have a total of 153,350 square feet of heated space. Whataburger makes $4.75 million real estate buy. A popular burger chain just took a big bite of Raleigh real estate. Whataburger, based in San Antonio, purchased a former Applebee's at 501 East Six Forks Road for $4.75 million. Wake County Deed Records show. The property is located at Wake Forest Road and Six Forks Road, near popular retailers including Wegmans, Costco, and Trader Joe's. The deal comes as Whataburger pushes forward with expansion plans into North Carolina. The chain plans to open locations in Charlotte and the Triad this year. The first Raleigh location likely won't open until 2026. The seller of 501 East Six Forks Road was Florida-based Ram Realty Advisors. The property last sold in 2019 for $3.06 million. And in downtown Raleigh, O2 Fitness to close studio in Seaboard Station. Gym members will sweat through their last few workouts as the homegrown fitness brand pulls out of downtown Raleigh at the end of the month. O2 Fitness is closing its Seaboard Station location at 802 Seamart Drive, the business told members in an email. The gym's last day is April 30th. As Seaboard Station continues to develop and grow, we've explored all options to remain in downtown Raleigh, but unfortunately we've been unable to find a viable path forward, O2's email said. Seaboard Station, located off Peace Street and across from William Peace University, has changed significantly in recent years. Hoffman and Associates' redevelopment of the site includes new apartments, retail options, and a hotel. New retailers include the 7,155-square-foot Boatman Spirits Company and the 27,000-square-foot Pins Mechanical Company. At the former Seaboard train station, Logan's Garden Shop has moved out to make way for a development led by Turnbridge Equities of New York. O2 Fitness is a legacy tenant at Seaboard Station. Members at Seaboard Station's O2 Fitness will receive upgraded access to any of the brand's other locations, the closest of which is in North Raleigh at 6150 Falls of Neuse Road. News from the Greater Triangle area is brought to us by Ben Tobin. Down East dreams of major megasite. A collaboration in eastern North Carolina is working to establish a new megasite in Pitt County. The Greenville Eastern North Carolina Alliance is working with Pitt County and the City of Greenville to establish a 3,300-acre megasite along Saintsville Road north of Briley Road. The land is part of a 10,000-acre area owned by timberland company Weyerhaeuser. The current market value for the largest tract of land at the proposed site, 8,366 acres, is just shy of $8.8 million, according to Pitt County tax records. Josh Lewis, president and CEO of the Greenville Eastern North Carolina Alliance, said a committee within the alliance has been working for several years to identify the best potential parcels for megasites in the county. A megasite is 1,000 acres or more designated for industrial use. You want to be in the game for whatever projects the community feels like they would like to attract, Lewis said. When you have requests for information or you have leads come in, you can only respond to what you have product for. The alliance estimates costs for design and build-out of infrastructure are roughly $450 million, plus an additional $102 million for the design and construction of utility services. Next steps include receive community feedback, rezone the property from residential agricultural to general industrial, have Greenville agree to run sewer service and utilities to the site, come to terms and negotiate control of the property, and submit applications to the state to access due diligence money. If after all these processes are completed and there's no red flags, then the county or city or alliance would actually have to own the property in order to access money for hard infrastructure, roads, utility lines, and things like that, Lewis said. In Lee County, Chipotle plans its first store in growing Sanford. Sanford looks poised to land a national quick-service Mexican food chain, a marker of how the municipality has evolved over time. The Durbin Group of Charlotte has submitted an application to the Sanford Lee County Broadway Technical Review Committee to build a drive-through Chipotle store off NC Highway 87 in Sanford. This would be the first Chipotle in Lee County. Per application materials, the Chipotle store will be 2,325 square feet and contain over 60 seats. The store will also feature a drive-through for digital pickup, which is the Chipotle Lane concept. An LLC tied to the Durbin Group purchased the 1.5-acre site in February 2023 for $1.45 million, according to Lee County deed records. Leased building in Rocky Mount goes up for sale. A 65-year-old building that's fully leased is on the market in downtown Rocky Mount. Brightspeed, a Charlotte fiber broadband company, has listed its building at 143 North Washington Street for $11.4 million. The company acquired the building in 2022 when it purchased assets in 20 states from telecommunications giant CenturyLink. Savills is listing the property, which was put out on the market March 19th, according to Cameron Moy, an associate director for Savills, who works out of Raleigh. Moy said the building, built in 1960, as part of an eight-building portfolio, Brightspeed is looking to sell across North Carolina from the Triad area all the way to the coast. He said Brightspeed would remain a tenant in the building. The building is a little over 142,000 square feet across five floors and sits on 2.33 acres, according to Savills. The property is located on the Edgecombe County side of Rocky Mount. After delay, Vickers Village is on the rise. A mixed-use project years in the making in Chatham County is closer to becoming reality. Local entrepreneur Antonio McBroom, who owns dozens of Ben & Jerry's stores as part of Chapel Hill's Primo Partners LLC, said the first homes in the 100-acre Vickers Village could be available next year. McBroom said he first started conceptualizing the project in 2018. The land for the project has a Chapel Hill address. In all, the project will include 181 homes comprised of a variety of housing types, as well as commercial space. The Chatham County Board of Commissioners approved the project, which sits along Highway 15501 between Vickers and Jack Bennett Roads, for a rezoning to a conditional district compact community in November 2021. Thanks for taking the time out to listen this week, everybody. We have run out of time for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Hugh Bennett, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The Triangle Business Journal is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. So long until next time. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.